Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, today with Kat James, who is one of America's top self-transformation experts. We're talking about the Biggest Loser study, which indicates that it's virtually impossible to lose weight using conventional means, diet, and exercise. But according to today's guest, Kat James, that is not the case, because she herself is a shining example of how one can radically change one's body and one's health with a simple diet modification, if only one does the right things to encourage leptin balance. So in this part of the podcast, we want to get into the leptin story, but talk a little bit about the secret sauce of how you get to leptin nirvana, a balanced state of leptin, which makes it easier to shed pounds. Kat, let me share something that happened to me recently. You know me, and you've met me, and you know you consider me of you know pretty optimal weight,
healthy
person.
Yep.
And I was exercising. I was a very good diet, but I decided to undertake a paleo diet, which meant that I put the toaster away. I didn't have any more gluten-free bagels or breads. Got completely off grains. No rice. Not brown rice. No quinoa. None of that stuff. No beans. And then I. You know, I had a little bit of sugar here and there, you know, mostly in chocolate that had sugar in it, so I gave that up. And what ended up happening is I'm eating like a house on fire. I lost 6 to 8 pounds. So a remarkable thing happened to my metabolism.
Yep.
It was really involuntary. I didn't change my exercise levels.
Yep.
Is that an example of the transformation that can occur when you adjust your leptin? How does that fit into your paradigm?
I can look at you, and most likely your parents did not die of metabolic disease. Most likely you did not have a lot of soda or Kool-Aid growing
exactly.
up.
Exactly.
Am I
true,
right?
True, true, true.
Yeah. See, the thing is that makes you completely different in your thresholds at which this can happen.
Okay.
And paleo, while you're also not likely to overdose on the protein, whereas your average fat friend, American friend or patient, a man will. In general, they will, and if they have yeast issues or they don't sleep well, have adrenal issues, thyroid issues, they're usually going to exploit the little loopholes in paleo. But the problem there is, first of all,
I'm not eating enormous amounts of, some people think paleo is like Fred Flintstone with like the brontosaurus steaks, you know,
that kind of thing. And all I would say from my viewpoint is that, you know, it could go further. If your ratios of protein to fat went, or fat to protein became higher, and you ate even more fat, and this doesn't mean filling your plate, because obviously your appetite's going to go down further and further the more fat there is there.
Mm-hmm.
But with other people, I wrote an article called Beyond Paleo. People can find it on the internet.
Yeah.
And I talked about the loopholes. And you take the average American, you know, we're talking 3/4 of the country at this point, you know, either obese or overweight. Those people, especially if they already have this off relationship with food, or they have their antibiotics or their candida, which changes dramatically, and we'll talk about that, you know, the relationship with food. And they're going to do better than standard American diet. They may even do better than their vegan, raw, you know, mostly vegetarian diet. I believe that they will. But they are still going to, they're not going to come close to achieving leptin sensitivity. You might be close, but the others are not. And so it's a different world. And yes, there's so much improvement to be had just in step one, getting to a whole foods diet. But you can't just eat more fat like I'm talking about and not dramatically go down with the carbs. And this is where it seems a little unnatural. Mm-hmm. And it is compensatory, because nature or creation did not create our metabolic state. And so many say, why can't I have a banana? It's just growing on a tree.
Yeah.
Why can't I have
a
banana?
It's a healthy thing, right?
Exactly. The person standing next to that person that so desperately wants that banana might be able to have the banana, but they could care less about it. And that's the kind of the strange thing. But to the degree to which you are metabolically challenged is the degree to which you need to make the fat ratio higher. There is no number. I cannot give a number. I do this by feel. And so that set of symptoms, first of all, if it's not preceded by what I call a day of reckoning, and I talked to Dr. Jason Fung, he wrote the Obesity Code.
He's been a guest on the program. He was a great guest, yeah.
Yeah, so in 2004, I had him on my show as well. 2004, kind of he started going in this direction. He said, but we can't really make it happen long term, and we can make it happen, you know, temporarily, but there's psychology involved. There are loopholes that inevitably get exploited. There are so many dietary mm-hmm. things that he would recommend that I would not recommend, that so many, again, for whom it would work for themselves, but then they are recommending it. And I look at that, and I learned after 17 years, I mean, 1 year I tried spaghetti squash, 1 year I tried agave, 1 year I tried, mm-hmm. you know, alcohol tinctures were out, right. even, you know, chicory-based coffee substitutes would spike people. Mm-hmm. It's insane. And so people have to, I take them in a very strict way right. so that they go all the way and they're sensitive and they have that set of very strong symptoms, and then we play from there, but they have to learn by feel,
yeah.
not by number, and it will be preceded by what I call a day of reckoning or a withdrawal day on many levels.
So there's not really a metric where you can do a blood test and determine, oh, you have high leptin or low leptin, because high leptin could be bad because there's a lot of leptin resistance.
It's like cortisol level.
Yeah, so there's not really a metric, you know, where you can do a blood test to say, well, how leptin resistant are you, right?
Yeah, and not only that, it changes from day to day, just like sex hormones. In relationships, if you understand, you know, you understand this, but the amount of change in reading that there would be from day to day just of sex hormones, so let's say someone should get, you know, put onto bioidentical hormones, it is so incredible. You know, the impact on sex hormones is profound. So these things change really quickly, but the only reliable thing, and I've seen this in the world of bioidentical hormones and even in thyroid, the best doctors rely on a set of symptoms. Mm-hmm. And the unmistakable symptoms is incredibly low appetite, but immediately coupled with a sore in energy and an evening out, no dips in the afternoon, and sudden you're more tired at night, you're more clear-headed in the morning, you sleep, you know, if you get up four times a night, you're getting up one time a night, the way that men urinate changes, all inflammation, all joint pain, vision, the way the skin is, even sensitivity to things like dairy or autoimmune issues. I even had an oncologist that approached, and her symptoms of MS, I mean, she was in tears. It's really powerful, and it's fast.
Yeah, you know, what you described is very interesting, because I just did this kind of on a lark. I thought I'd do it for 30 days as kind of a challenge, but I felt so good. And exactly what you described, you know, greater mental clarity, a higher productivity, because I value my productivity. I mean, I spend a lot of time, you know, with patients, take a lot of energy, and then I exercise, you know, a lot, and I want to perform well and, you know, doing triathlons. Yeah. And I also want to be able to wake up alert, you know, and not have that, you know, hour and a half or 2 hours where you feel groggy and you have to take, you know, coffee to, you know, get going. And now we kind of, there's a little more spring in my step and much more energy and focus. And that's, I think, what qualifies as a feeling of equilibrium. And a lot of, and I did it not to lose the weight, because I really didn't care. But it was more about, let's see if I can improve efficiency and productivity.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's people just, their businesses, their product, they're like three of, you know, some people say it's like I have three of me. And some people who have the eating disorder don't know what to do with their life all of a sudden, because their whole daily thing of outsmarting their binge demon, it's just gone. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, they're, I mean, after 40 years, and people white-knuckling it like I did, and praying and repenting, and, and all of a sudden it's not there, and they have a relationship with their children, or they... In the afternoon, they're like, wow, I'm going to revisit some dreams I had 20 years ago. And for you, I'm sure the athletes, even very major, I've worked with a Mets player and worked with some major martial arts people, and they're saying, you know, just today, like 3 days, immediately after they resensitize to the hormone, they have a different day in the gym. And even non-athletic people, the women are saying, I feel compressed, and men with large bellies are feeling the outer corner of their ribs like 5 days later. Mm-hmm. It's a big thing. Yeah.
Yeah, and I did notice that too, is that, you know, the six pack that elusive sick pack. You know, it's not like it did a million crunches. It's coming back.
No,
and it's more about your the amount of subcutaneous fat that you store, and that just goes away. Okay, so so practically speaking, you know, how do people implement this? I noticed that you're in New York. I'm kind of surprised because I thought for some reason you were a West Coast person. Then I see I'm calling you on a 212 number. So you have a practice in New York, and you counsel people along these lines?
Yeah, and I protect myself legally because I'm not a doctor.
Right.
So what I do is I get, you know, I do all these disclaimers and get people on the phone together, and then some people come to my retreats, which I've been doing around the world since 2000. And so what I used to do is 7-day retreats, but because this flip happens on day or three, four, almost without exception, I now do 5-day retreats. What I have found, though, is that it's unbelievably, it blows my mind after this many years how easy it is, and somehow, sometimes it's psychological slipperiness, I'll call it, is that if we are overtaken by yeast or candida, for example, I think it's going to be found, my prediction, and it's sort of coming true, that these yeast communities can sometimes dictate where our hand goes, even if our, you know,
they commandeer us.
They
take over. It's like invasion of the body snatchers.
Yes, and it has been shown that without leptin sensitivity, the body does maintain a mortal hunger signal, and it will even cause you to crave carbs, and have you will smell things differently and taste things differently. But I find it's a minimum of 12 hours. If people don't understand that, and I am uniquely discussing things what I call borderline foods. And stacking borderline foods. So, you know, most people that talk about leptin, they'll say, like, nuts, for example, is a free food.
Mm-hmm.
And nuts get overdone and abused all the time and is often the slippery slope and the difference between someone who's been successful for a year and has been in what I call the freedom zone. We're talking, the thing they all say is there's no self-control needed. And all of a sudden they start craving these things that they haven't craved for a long time. Yeah. And some people abuse dark chocolate.
Yeah.
You know, alcohol and coffee are debates among various leptin experts. So people have to realize the science is there, more than 8,000 studies. Just look up leptin, you know, search leptin and whatever, cancer, immunity, whatever it is, I'm urging people to do that. Although the science is there, the practice, the daily practice and the actual dietary application is a frontier.
Mm-hmm.
It's a frontier, and people are just figuring it out. You know, Eric Westman just hopped on board, and around 2000, you know, finally got the nod from Duke to look at it. He wanted to look at it before they would let him, and you know, his recommendations differ. Rosedale's recommendations differ, and they're dealing, you know, in my opinion, just because of the woman that I was, I feel like I'm a good canary in the coal mine.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't want the people that spend the money to come to my Total Transformation retreats to waste it. So I have a lower threshold. But, you know, if people would just do as you are doing and cut out carbs as much as they can and eat a little more fat, but don't try to, you know, start eating the cheesecake that I serve, or you know, triple creme cheese, if you are not really cutting carbs.
Mm-hmm.
And what's surprising is there are carbs in beans and carbs in, you know, hummus and
That's why paleo works for some people, because you're cutting out legumes and you're cutting out grains. You know, what I wanted to get into with you, as you know, while we still have time, is the microbiome effects. Because I suspect that a lot of what's going on has to do with transformation of what's happening in your gut. And, you know, you well know that in gastric bypass, what's happening is not necessarily that you have a smaller stomach. It's actually when you change the anatomy of the gut, you actually change the bacteria in your gut. You transform your microbiome.
Yep.
And so it'd be kind of neat if you could transfer your microbiome without, like, major surgery that causes, you know, a lifetime of diarrhea, you know.
Exactly. And what puts it in the wrong direction, of course, is that famine mode eating that sugar burners tend to do, things that spike blood sugar, and also prescription drug intervention, the chlorinated
antibiotics,
water.
Antibiotics. Acid blockers.
Total game changers.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. And what's really interesting is 2 years ago in Cincinnati, a study was done that identified that leptin has a direct impact on the microbiota composition.
Wow.
And so,
there's crosstalk with leptin to your bacteria.
Yeah. And what's amazing is that these are two strains of bacteria that they often discuss in the studies showing this link between, you know, our predisposition to obesity or not. And one starts with a B. I think it's Bacteroides or something.
There's another. Firmicutes or something. As best as I can tell.
Yeah, it's like a chicken. Yes. And it's like a chicken or egg thing that they're trying to figure out right now. But mm-hmm. It really looks like the dietary choices are causing the change in the bacteria. Yes, there can be some genetic predispositions, but they even did a study where two twins, one fat, one thin, they put the bacteria into mice and got the ones mitigating the obesity trend in one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with a stool transfer, transferring the bacteria from the stool.
Exactly, fecal transplant. And what I have noticed, you know, with all of these incredible activities of the microbiota, from how our hormones are processed to predisposition to obesity to our immunity, it reads like the list of what's been found with leptin. And this is complete conjecture, but I believe that because of what has been described in that study as basically a prebiotic activity of leptin in influencing all the positive bacteria, that this might be why it's like a similar list of hormonal and even mood and immunity, just down and inflammation and everything, even type of things. It all seems to be a similar course.
So bottom line, you know, the Biggest Loser study is all washed up because they looked at, unfortunately, absolutely the wrong paradigm, and they came to the wrong conclusion, which is that dieting doesn't help. It's just that they went about it all wrong. And there's hope for major transformation for people if they do it the right way. But it's not by horrible, stringent diet.
Yeah. The right way is the easy way. When it feels right and your body is actually working the right way, you realize that it's not a cruel joke that being a human being was not, you know, this cruel joke where everything that's good is not going to be to your liking and all of the bad things that you're going to like, and it turns all upside down and you can even eat before bed. So it's an amazing, you know, change, and it is freedom. And for 25 years, I have not worked to maintain, and has never come creeping back. And in fact, I'm healthier still after this much time than I was back then in 1990.
No question. And you are a shining example of how this paradigm can restore health and beauty. So what's today's Intelligent Medicine call to action? Can you tell me how you work with people and how they can access your information?
Sure. And I'd be happy also to send a more in-depth leptin article if people want to visit at informedbeauty.com, informed with an ED, beauty.com. The program is called Total Transformation. They can also call us at 877-54-TOTAL, and there is the online phone-based over a three-month period that works just as well as the on-site, and the next one's at a Buffalo Ranch on July 22nd, and then we'll go to Costa Rica in the winter. But
good.
It's informed. Yeah, it's
can you go if you're already thin? I just like to go. I don't need to lose weight. I just want to go.
Heck yeah! I only have like 5, maybe 10% of the people have weight or eating issues because others know that it's going to fix anxiety and muscle to fat ratio, etc. So of course, yes.
Good. All right. And then you can also access some reports, the Leptin Story, Menopause Makeover, and Beyond Paleo, because you referenced some of those.
Yep.
And those are available through
links to any of those.
Okay. So informedbeauty.com is the website. And anything
and
else you want?
Just sign up for the newsletter and ask for those reports, and we'll do it. And then my suggestion is, you know, for people to sort of condition themselves at least to go in the right direction. Look at your beverages. In my book, The Truth About Beauty, I talk about, you know, that if you don't get that harmful beverage out of the way, you won't even have a chance. And then just start looking at your sources of sugar and just understand that things turn into sugar. It doesn't have to have added sugar. And please don't fat phobic anymore. I'm sure that if they're listening to your podcast, that they're not going to be fat phobic anymore.
No question.
And that's a really good start.
Okay. You mean Diet Coke isn't the ideal weight loss beverage? It destroys your microbiome. I guess that's why.
That's right. And it gives you the, you know, in addition to the toxins, the cravings even more so. But, yeah, so, you know, less fat or more fat, less sugar, then you'll be in the right direction at least.
Okay, thanks very much for joining us and running down a very complex subject that we're actually, you know, as you admit, we're in the midst of research on coming to a better understanding of how this works. And in addition, because of human individuality, it has to be tailored to everyone's unique metabolism. But it is, there's emerging science. This can work. Self-transformation is possible if you do it the right way. Thanks so much for joining us.
And permanent and easy. You're welcome. Thank you so much, Dr.
Thank you, Kat James, for joining us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.